If you would, stand one more time just to make sure you don't get too comfortable. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone who's standing right now, everyone who's that can stand. And we thank you for your anointing, your peace, your grace, your goodness. We reverence you, Holy Spirit. We invite you here. Father, I ask that you anoint this place. As we plead the blood over this event, I ask you to anoint every person here under the sound of my voice with the Spirit, the anointing of wisdom and revelation. Let the eyes of our understanding be open like never before. Let the anointing of truth and revelation reside. We thank you. Speak to our hearts. Let every person be touched, receive encouraged today from heaven. And we give you the praise, Lord Jesus. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. Greet two or three people. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Our theme for this year, which the Lord dropped on our heart during our 21 days of prayer and fasting in January, is this: the God of the impossible is doing the impossible for you today. I want to say that as much as I can, as every time the Lord reminds me to say it, because faith, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Please challenge everything that I say any day, anytime. Please challenge everything that anybody says with the Word of God, because it's the Word that makes a difference. And that word impossible could be interchanged easily with the word miracle. But sometimes some words in the church, and this is just my opinion, sometimes words in the church world get so used that we forget what they mean. And so I like that God is the God of miracles, but I like to also say He is the God of the impossible. Because anytime you face an impossibility, if something's trying to take you out, take you back, or keep you from moving forward, I want out of your spirit that phrase that I serve the God of the impossible, and He's doing the impossible for me today. Would you say that with me? Say, He is the God of the impossible, and He is doing the impossible for me today. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is the God of the impossible, and He is doing the impossible for you today. Come on, if you believe that, give him a hand clap of praise. Just not on Sunday. Every day, I want to encourage you, wake up and say, Father, thank you. This day you've made, I rejoice, and I'm glad at it, because you are the God of the impossible, and you're doing the impossible for me today. And if He's going to do the impossible for you, He's going to do the impossible through you. Get that series talk. We talked about the posture of pouring. He is the God. Psalms 111 verse 4 is our key verse for the year. He causes us to remember His wonderful works. You know how you remember something? When it's a big deal. When it's a big deal. I believe with all my heart, this year, you're going to see, and is this for everybody? Yes. Will everybody experience it? No, because the Bible says that the Word did not make an impact in some people's lives because they didn't mix their faith, which means that they're like, yeah, whatever. Then for them, it's available, but won't make a difference. But to those who believe, all things are possible. To those who believe. Believe what? The Word of God. What is something that can be remembered? Something that's a big deal in your life. Something that's a big deal. He causes us to remember His wonderful works. He has shown, verse 6, He has shown His great power to His people. You know what great power is? All of the God's power is great. But to a human perspective, you know what great power is? Something that begins to get you to scratch your head and say, wow, how did that happen? Come on, somebody. We've already seen this year someone with a tumor and go back for a biopsy and the tumor be gone. We've already seen this year someone that was on the transplant list for cornea because they were blind from scar tissue and cataracts and get prayed for, and now they go back to the doctor and now they have full vision, back to work, driving, and taken off the transplant list. He is the God of the impossible. We've seen people get jobs and vehicles that they couldn't get before. He is the God. It's just not in one area. I'm here to tell you it's in every area, any area. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, his blood not only purchased your spirit person so you can go to heaven, but he purchased all of you. You are a spirit, the Bible says. You live in a body, and you have a soul, your mind, will, and emotions, which means all belong to Jesus. Can I get an amen? And so he has, when you understand that he's not only your Savior, the forgiver of your sins, he's also your Lord, which means he is control, which means you're saying, Lord, I belong to you. So anything that tries to creep into your life, you can say, sorry, you don't have rights here. I have a covenant. Amen. And that means that God has the ability to impact any and every area of your life. And I'm here to tell you, God likes to show off. God likes to show off. 2 Corinthians 2:14, that your life and the victories of your life can be an aroma of God's knowledge, his goodness, by you in every place you go. Praise God for a 3, 4, 5% raise, or I got a 7% raise. Praise God for that. But I'm telling you, God wants to do something so big in your life that even the heathen, the atheist, the agnostic, the people don't like you, because he prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies. He likes messing with doctors, and we like doctors. We have doctors in church, but he likes messing with the medical field, the legal field. Are you listening? The financial field. All the ones that know how the things work in the natural, who call themselves experts. He likes doing stuff that they can't understand. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 verse 9, his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The Bible says that God likes to confound the wise with what seems to be foolish. You had somebody pray for you at church? That sounds foolish. Yeah, but how do you explain the doctor's report? How do you explain the medical field change? How do you explain what they said? It was impossible. Go home and die. And God says, it's not your time. From the God of resurrection, he is the God of the impossible. And I want to speak the word into your mind, but also into your spirit, so you catch this and walk out with your faith stirred, that with God all things are possible to him who believes. He is, and forever will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He will not and has not ever changed. He is and was the God of the impossible many years ago, 2,000 years ago, and even today. What he did before, he can still do today. God is looking. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth, looking to whom he can show himself strong. What is he wanting to do? He wants to show the world that he is still the God that can do the impossible. He can heal you. He can deliver you. He can restore you. He can do the impossible. If anybody believes that, if you're ready for him to do the impossible, then don't say it quietly. Respond the way that God wants you to respond. And you don't do it matching other people, but let it be individual between you and Jesus today. I hear your word, Lord. Be it unto, like Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. What others cannot do, what others cannot explain, display. God wants to display through you what everybody knows is beyond you. Come on, give him a praise. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. He wants to do the impossible. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love you more than he loves a person next to you. He loves all of us. We've heard testimonies say, wow, that's so amazing. God, why won't you do that for me? You gotta understand, he's already done it. He has already done it. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. It's already done. Psalms 23, he has prepared a table. I'll tell you, the dinner has been ordered. It's been cooked. It's on the plate. It's on the table. And in God's table, it stays hot, waiting for you to arrive. It's not waiting for you to buy it. You're not trying to coerce God to give it to you. You're not trying to manipulate him. You're not trying to make him feel sorry for you. Those things work with man, but not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you are not a servant. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. You just have to receive it. How do we receive it? We receive it by faith, the Bible tells us. Hebrews 6:12. Be imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. You got to walk up to the table. When you realize, hey, this belongs to me. God has a promised land, a land of promise, a place at the table for you. And when you begin to get that revelation, what belongs to you, when you get that perspective of what belongs to you, we got to move toward it. We're starting a new series today. It's actually a continuation. Lord placed on my heart how to maybe change the way we're doing some things, even in the preaching. So we're going to do some sequels and some prequels. Come on, somebody. Because more importantly than me coming up with just a creative idea, and this is not being lazy, more than just trying to come up with a new series, it's instilling what God is saying in this church, in this time, in a way that's in the hearts of the people, so that when you begin to deal in life with situations, it comes out of you. It's not because, I've had people come up and say, oh, what about this? Oh, we preached that 3 months ago, but they only heard it once. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. We're not just trying to teach you something, and I am thankful for teachers, and because we need information, but we also need impartation. Information will allow you to explain it. Impartation will allow you to obtain it. Let me say that again. Information will allow you to explain it. Impartation will allow you to obtain it. Where do I get that? Hebrews 11, verse 33. Who through faith not only conquered kingdoms, subdued them, but also obtained the promises of God. Information. There's a lot of people in the world, church world even, that are brilliant in their intellect and they can explain things intellectually, but they have no faith in their spirit, man. And we believe in the heart, and that word heart is not the organ of your body, it's your spirit. With the heart, man believes. We have to go from mental understanding to a heart revelation. When it goes from a heart revelation, things are about to change. When it gets into a heart revelation, things are about to change. Hebrews 4, you move into a place of rest on the inside when it becomes a heart revelation. You become strong. You become bold. You become courageous. Joshua 1, 6 through 10. Why? Because it goes from just an idea that you can quote to a revelation in your heart. And instead of saying, I know God can, you say, I know God is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We know that. But it goes on to say, and I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. Come on, somebody. He is. See, when you're spending time with God, you'll begin to see who He is, and not just who He is as a way to intellectually define and describe deity, but know that He's your Heavenly Father, and that He's your Father. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He is my banner. He is my help in time of need. He is my strength. He is everything I need. He is my Alpha and Omega. If you know who He is in your life, begin to give Him a praise that whatever you need, He is the answer. He is the solution. He is your Jehovah Jireh, the God who saw the need before you knew there was a need. He is your Jehovah Rapha. He is the healer who heals you of all diseases. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords, and beside Him there is none other. If you believe it, give Him a praise. He is the mighty God. He is the mighty God. You don't serve a little God while you're fighting a big devil. I'm telling you, when you start seeing it from the perspective of God, that demon begins to look a lot smaller. That impossibility begins to look probable. It becomes likely. It's a done deal. I have it now. Hallelujah. Things change. God doesn't change. He's forever the same. We begin to get a better understanding of who He is. Why? Because you've been dwelling with God. You've been dwelling in His word. Come on, somebody. So as we approach the table of God, many times in our life, we want everything to just unfold. It's like this past last weekend being Easter early, but on the weekend, they always do the Ten Commandments. You know, my daughter asked me, Dad, do they always play the Ten Commandments at Easter? I said, yeah. And she goes, why? And I said, I don't know, now that you mentioned it. You know, you think about it. It's been, Charlton Heston's been saying, you know, Moses. It's just been going on for a long time. It's so long, it's just kind of like part of the tradition. You know what I mean? Every Easter, you got to make sure you watch 1950, whatever, 56? So I was close, even just guessing in the 1950s. 1956 movie. It's 5 hours long. Come on, somebody. They tapped into multiple series episodes before they were even discovered. But they just made one long movie. But we just did it because, yeah, you're like, you know what? After I think about it, why do they play that on Easter? It's a great movie to watch. Really nothing about the death, burial, resurrection, unless you go into the Passover, and I guess you can construe into that, but it's really more about the life of Moses. But how many things do we do that appear to be religious, but we've done them so long, we just expect that that's the way things should be. And when we approach the table of God, there are times that we'll deal with opposition. And if we're not willing to push through the opposition to take our place, if God has a chair for you, and he does, in any and every area of your life, that's what the Bible says. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You know when you what happens when you sit down? You rest. Hebrews 4, you're in faith. You are seated. He's at the right hand of the Father. With a name above every name. Far above, Ephesians 1 tells us, far above all principality and power. So if there's a chair for you, there's a seat for you, when we move toward it, there's going to be pressure. And you can't be intimidated by the pressure. It's like the woman with the issue of blood, which we've talked about before. And you know what? We're going to talk about it again. Because the Bible says, because we need to keep drawing from what's being said. There, you can never read a verse, oh, I've read that verse 3 times. I've read that verse 30 times. There's still more there. There's, because there's power and truth. The word is alive. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. There's layers of understanding. There's layers, unlimited power. And so the Bible tells us that there was a woman with an issue of blood. And she spent all her money on doctors of that day and only got worse. And yet she heard that Jesus was coming. In the Old Testament, there is a prophecy that when the Son of Righteousness, referring to the Messiah, would come, he would have healing in his wings, and that's the garment. And she said within herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, which is the wings reference of the Old Testament, it's the knots of obedience. If I can touch his acts of obedience, I know I can be healed and will be healed. If I can touch, make contact with him, I know I'll be healed. And the Bible says that she began to move toward Jesus. And she had to push through the crowd, which is a dangerous thing because in that day, her condition disqualified her. Her condition disqualified. Oh, I hear this in my spirit. What condition have you been dealing with that the devil's told you you're disqualified? What has the devil told you that you're disqualified because of a condition? Well, if I wasn't raised that way, if I wasn't abused, if I had a better education, if I didn't deal with that bankruptcy, if I wouldn't been divorced so many times, what has the devil disqualified you in your perspective? Because his goal is to keep you from your place that belongs to you. He'll try to disqualify you using the things of life and tell you why you are devalued and you have no right. You're disqualified because of this. You're disqualified. And she was disqualified by the natural law of man. But the law of heaven said something different. Man, I feel that in my spirit. The law of man says, no way. The law of God says, come on, baby. The law of man says, you better not. The law of God said, I got a place for you here at the table. The law of man says, you better not get near anybody or you could be stoned. There's a risk. And the law of God says, listen, there is so much ahead of you if you can push through. She had to push through the crowd.
What is the devil disqualifying in your mind, trying to disqualify you? I'm here to tell you, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've done, but in the blood of Jesus, behold, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things are new. Are you listening to me? Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That's the greatness of the power of the blood of Jesus, that if you submit to God, if you repent and submit to God, you are no longer disqualified. You were brought in, not as a stepchild, not as a grandchild, but as a son and daughter of the Most High God. If you believe that, take 10 seconds and give him a praise. You're not disqualified. Moses thought he was disqualified because of his past. He killed somebody. Moses tried to be disqualified because he couldn't talk. He was a stutterer. And each way God said, you can stay there or you can let me deal with there. You can stay there or you can let God deal with a there. I don't know where there is for you. And maybe you've been there so long, your mail's being delivered to you. But I'm here to tell you that the word of God is powerful. And the Proverbs 4 says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. That we go from glory to glory. I'm telling you, in Jesus, the best is yet to come. This is just not spiritually and heaven eternally bound. And it includes that. But I'm telling you, at your work, in your health, in your mind, in your peace, in your marriage, in every area, in every area. Paul says, forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, of the high calling. I'm here to tell you, don't stay there any longer. It's time, according to the Bible, to pull up the stakes and get ready to move. Get ready to move, because God is inviting you to the next level. If you believe that, give him a praise. Don't stay there. You might have been there a long time. The devil tell you that's all you know is there. She had to push through the crowd. She had to move through the crowd and get a hold to the miracle. The prodigal son who found himself in a place called there. Ooh, that's a good message. I've never said that, never thought that. A place called there. He found them there. Where was there for him? There was the place of his consequences, the place of his own doing, the place of his choices, the place of people rejecting and not helping him. The ones he partied with that he provided, they turned on him. Have you ever had someone turn on you? Some problems are of our own making. Some problems are the making of other people against you. But I don't care where you find yourself there. I'm telling you, Jesus can still reach you there. His arm is not too short, nor his ear too deaf. Are you listening to me? And the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself. As long as you think you deserve to stay there, you will stay there. Maybe when you were a kid, someone, your parents or someone you trusted or a teacher or something happened and told you that you belong there. You can't go any farther than there. You'll never be anything more than there. You'll never make it in the world. You're going to be stuck there. And you have adapted the mentality and perception as a reflection of the words of other people. But my Bible tells me when you hear the word and obey it, you get a better reflection as a man who looks into the mirror and begins to see who they really are. I pray this. As we start this series, even today, I pray that people walk out of this place and have a better picture of who they are. That you begin to say, wait a minute, that's not who I am anymore. That's maybe who I used to be. That's maybe what you told me I was. But I'm here to begin to understand the word of God, that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above always and never to be beneath. Everything I put my hands to, Psalms 1 verse 3, is prosperous. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ, the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one, the anointed one who strengthens me. Are you listening to me today? Or we begin to say, wait a minute, I'm going to begin to reflect what God has reflected in my life from his word. I don't have to stay there. And that's what happened to the prodigal. The prodigal came to himself. He didn't come to a hard place and wake up. He came to a revelation and woke up. Yeah. Challenge it, challenge it, challenge it. It wasn't the hardness of life that caused him to wake up.
Have you ever heard someone say, well, just let them hit rock bottom, then they'll wake up? No, not at all the time. Most time not. Most people hit rock bottom and they die. Most people hit rock bottom and they go into alcohol. Most people hit rock bottom and they go into drug addiction. Most people hit rock bottom and they go into things they shouldn't be. But God said, listen, it's not the rock bottom. What happened if you study that verse again and again, challenge everything I say? Am I talking to somebody today? It wasn't the problem. It wasn't the hunger pains. It wasn't the pigs. It wasn't the sloth. He came to himself and said, does not my father's employees, modern day translation, does not the employees of my father have plenty enough to eat and even more in store? What was he saying? My father is so generous. He takes great care of those who work for him. He is so generous. He is so generous. What happens? The devil has sold the church world that the God that we serve, the Jesus we talk about, that he is stingy and he is lacking and he's powerless. And I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar and God's word is true. He is all sufficient. He is more than enough. He doesn't just want to meet your need so you can barely survive. He wants to move you beyond what you can imagine. For eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he reveals them to you by his spirit. Are you listening to me today? I don't care where you're at. I don't care how you wake up and what they say to you and what your blueprint of your past tells you. I'm here to tell you, behold, all things are new. Starting today, the entrance of his word, Psalms 119. It's the entrance of his word. It gives light. It gives light. It gives light. And when you get light, you can see clearly who you're called to be. Hallelujah. It gives understanding, Psalms 119, to the simple. That word simple, another translation says to the childlike. It doesn't mean that you're ignorant. It means that Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom, you must be like a child. You must be open for new information. You must be open for new direction. As long as you've come to play the game with your blocks and your ways, it doesn't work. How many of you have been in church so long that we have tried to build our house with our blocks and said, God, I'm adding Jesus to the prayer. What's the problem? And the Bible says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added, which means, God, I have blocks you can use, but if you want to use them, they're yours. But if you don't want to use them, you don't have to. God, I know ways you've worked before. If you want to do it that way, that's great. But I know I'm not going to limit you in the way you're going to do this miracle. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm not going to try to emotionally force you because that don't work either. I'm going to begin to say like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. I'm going to be like the servants of Mary who said, whatever he tells you to do, simply obey. We have complicated God so much that it takes man and a lot of theologians a hard time just to unpack it. But I'm here to tell you that God brings it to a place of your understanding. You can say, God, I don't have it all figured out. Maybe you think you got a lot figured out, and praise God for you. But I'm here to tell you that your wisdom and your knowledge can't compare to the wisdom and knowledge of God. Sometimes you got to take your hands off it. Say, God, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. And I know you're going to be directing my path. The Bible says the path of the righteous are ordered, directed of God. Even when I don't know, I'm going to look to you. You might be walking in darkness, but I'm here to tell you, behold, the light of the word has come. He will guide you. He will guide you. Too many people want the end. He said, no, listen, you follow me. He told the disciples, follow me and I will make you. He didn't give them the 20 steps of all the turns. He said, if you stay close to me, if you walk it out with me, are you walking? It is a walk of faith. It is being a walk in the spirit. It's not running. It's not trying to drive it. You have to walk this thing out. God, what's my step today? You show me and I'll obey. You guide me. If there's something I need to remove, I'll remove it. If there's something I need to say differently, I'll say it differently. I will not be bound. Listen to me. Make the decision in your heart. You will not be bound by the religion of the past, the people of the past, the problems of the past. You get in there and say, God, it's a clean slate. Reveal your word to me. I'm going to stick to the word of God because the word of God is the final authority. If you believe that, take 30 seconds and give him a praise like you've never praised him before. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. All three have a parable that Jesus talked about. The power of the sower sowing the seed being the word, and the conditions of the ground being the hearts of the people. And in one verse, I'll read this verse to you, Mark chapter 14, verse 17, Amplified Classic. It says, and they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on the account of the word. Let me just stay there for a second. See, now, if you do something wrong, there's probably going to be some consequences. But not all pressure or opposition is because you've done something wrong. The woman with the issue of blood was pushing through the crowd. She got sight of where she was going. She found her seat, her place. The prodigal son, he knew where he was going. He's going back to the father. And he said to the father, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. I've sinned against you and all authority. And I repent. I was wrong. Hire me. And his father came and found him halfway there and said, and gave him a hug, and read that in your own time, and said, listen, I am not going to bring you into the position of an employee because you're still a son or daughter, a child. And I'm going to bring you into a position that's available to you, that's called for you to be. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That does not mean you can live any way you want and God will still use you. And God's happy with it. It's not that you can live in sin because of grace. No, Romans 6 says, shall we use the freedom from sin to go back in sin? And Paul says, God forbid. So if you're just trying to find how much you can do in sin and barely get to heaven, and that's all you want to do minimum, I'm not the preacher for you. I love you. I'm not here to coddle and try to correct a bunch of... Now, if you just get saved, you're a baby Christian. But if you've been saved for a long time, it's no reason for you to be a baby anymore. I'm not here to try to convince people they need to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven, and I'm giving it everything I got, and we have a seat on the bus for you, but you have to make that decision. Don't you think pastor's going to pray you out of that club? He ain't praying you out of that club. You have to choose not to go in that strip club. Don't go, pastor will pray. I can't pray you out of something that you choose to go to. You better turn that porn channel off and cancel the subscription. You better get real with God, because this is not the time to play with God and say, I'm going to do whatever I want and do a quick prayer on Sunday, hoping to make it in. You'll find yourself on the outside of the door and hearing, I don't even know you. Woo, it just got serious real quick. Did y'all notice that? Because a lot of people are approaching the Father without repentance. Father, I've sinned and I don't deserve it. And the Father said, listen, I love you and I'm going to restore you. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure a little while. And when the trouble or persecution arises, so if you do something wrong, there's probably going to be pressure and opposition. Pray for me. The devil's been attacking me. What's going on? My boss has been chewing me out. You haven't showed up on time in 4 days. What do you mean? That's you. Don't you over-spiritualize stuff and blame the devil. Devil's over there in the corner saying, I wasn't even there. And let me just speak a little truth. And some Christians, God love you. Jesus loves you. We love you. We pray for you. Some Christians don't need the devil. They do a good enough job imploding on their own ability. They'll pee in their well and complain about the taste of the water. Boy, it just got quiet in here again. I feel like Jesus in that verse. Are you all leaving me? Somebody stay around here. So, I mean, we have to be understanding of our own. Some people just, yeah, I mean, they just give them a few minutes. The devil's like, just demons, hold off. Just stay away. Just watch. And they'll blame the devil. The devil's like, I wasn't even there. That one, she takes care of it herself. We love him. We pray for him. But there is more for each and every one of us. But there is an opposition that comes because you're approaching your place at the table.
The woman with the issue of blood was approaching her miracle, the place of provision, the place of healing. The prodigal son was coming, and the father came out, but he had to deal with the opposition. Even his own brother was not happy he was there. Not everybody's going to be happy you're approaching the table to take by faith what belongs to you by the blood of Jesus. But you know what? That's okay. Again, Mark 10, verse 30, Jesus said, anybody who gives to me in the kingdom shall, and I'm not taking up another offering, so take a deep breath. Anybody who gives to me in the gospel's sake will receive 100-fold in this life with persecution and a life to come, eternal life. Why persecution? Because not everybody is happy when you sit down at your provision. I kind of liked you better when you were crying and calling me all the time. I felt better when you needed me and you needed me to console and comfort you through your tears. That's dysfunctional. People will try to keep you broken so that they feel special. And they might be in your immediate family. And you can love them, but don't be dysfunctional with them. Sometimes you have to love people from afar, no matter how close they were before. You can say, Jesus said, who is my brothers and sisters and mothers, but those who do the kingdom. Sometimes you got to say, listen, I love you, but this dynamic, it's dysfunctional. It's not aligned with the word of God. I can't stay broken so you feel encouraged about how good you are. Help me, Jesus. Security, get the car ready. I got to get out of here. Sometimes when you're approaching the place, the seat that God of provision has for you, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, whatever it might be, as you're approaching it, you will deal with opposition. And notice in this verse, that's what's happening with these people. They receive the word gladly. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. But when Monday hit, if you don't think everybody deals with a Monday, but when Monday comes, you got to push through. When Thursday shows up, you got to push through. These people receive the word with gladness. And again, let me keep it balanced. Not every Monday needs to be a bad Monday, so don't misunderstand me. Not every day needs to be a constant battle. But there are storms and battles in life. Jesus said, in this life, you'll deal with trials and tribulation. You don't live with that continuously. But in the battles of life, we have to push through the opposition. Amen. When persecution arises on the account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. Why? Because there was no root system. You're taking notes, right? We need a root system. Yes. Yes. If you're watching online, put, I need a root system. A root system gives you strength. Amen. Without a root system, the first light breeze comes by and will knock the tree over. Right. We did a series on our daily broadcast. We do a prayer every day online, Monday through Thursday. We have a prayer chapel open between 10 and 4 p.m. every day, Monday through Thursday. We also do a Bible study every day, Monday through Thursday, and we... A series or two ago online, it's more of a teaching vibe. We did a whole thing on foundational truths. What are some truths, scriptures that say these are foundation in our life? Because no one enjoys building a foundation for a house or a building. Right. It's not appealing. It's not pretty. But you know what the purpose of a foundation is? Strength and stability. Yes. Through the test of time and the storms of life. So that was the perspective of that series. If you're going to spend any time, money, any energy, effort, prayer on building anything, your walk with God, your marriage, your business, no one goes to a wedding to get married with the idea that I'm going to marry this person and I love him, but tomorrow will probably be a joker and by Tuesday I'm going to divorce his can. No one goes into a marriage with the expectation of divorce. No one goes into starting a business with the expectation of bankruptcy. No one goes into starting a ministry with the expectation of it imploding and them being embarrassed on a national scale. And it happens. Because we're missing the foundation. We need a foundation. A foundation enables you to stand the test of time and the storms of life. It's a root system. You know what else it is? With the root, it not only gives you strength, it gives you access of source of life. The Bible says we're to be trees of righteousness, trees planted by the rivers of water. Which means that we have, when it rains, great. If it doesn't rain, you're still drinking. If they feed you, great. If there's no one feeding the plant, you still have access.
Right.
When your walk is based on what people provide you, you'll have great times, and you'll have feasts, and you'll have famine seasons. But when you begin to see that there's something below surface that people cannot see with their natural eye,
right.
You begin to access what God has. It's called, are you ready? Here's a deep thought. It's called faith.
Right.
Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things not seen. Things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the things of not seen. It's a realm that's beyond what you see in the natural, but gives you stability, strength, and life. In closing, what do we need to do? When you're pushing through to your seat, don't stop when there's opposition. Don't stop when there's a risk. When you're obeying God, never take no for an answer. You keep pushing through. You keep pushing through, and you keep digging deep. Am I helping anybody today? You get into the word, Joshua 1, 6 through 10, day and night. You begin to speak the word. You hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. You get into the word. You dig deep, because as you're digging deep in the word, once you tap the realm of faith, you have peace.
Amen.
Hebrews 4. You have strength. You have joy. You have stability. Talk about a great litmus test, a great indicator, a great thermometer. When you feel like you're going under, you need to go deeper.
Amen.
When you feel like it's not going to work, you need to go deeper.
Amen.
When you're struggling and feel like, what have I got myself into? You need to go deeper.
Yes.
And this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Go deeper. I don't know what you're pushing for. And praise God for the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. We believe in them. We operate them. We see miracles. We see healings. But if we don't understand the foundation of faith to go deeper, and we're all at different levels, and none of us have reached the epitome of where God wants to bring us, we're all still growing. Or you should still be growing. We got to go deeper. You say, if I had the faith of that person, this problem wouldn't be that big a deal. Listen, when you get into faith, the problem's not going to be a big deal. But when you get at that level of faith that person is that you're admiring, they're not dealing with that little midget demon. Where'd you go? Oh. Because we all have to continue to dig deep to the Word of God and say, God, I'm going to trust you. My emotions are saying something. My mind is trying to say something. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes.
Yeah. Bringing a captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. What are we doing? We're saying, I'm going to change the channel. I'm going to dig deep, and I'm going to begin to speak the word. I'm going to let the light, because listen, instead of trying to fight the darkness, just turn on the light. Some of us just need to refresh what we already know to do. Get into that praise. Begin to speak that word. Begin to pray in tongues. Get in the presence of God. Let the light shine. So let your light shine, Jesus. Let the light shine. And you know what happens? Darkness is no big deal. But it should have happened by now. Don't you let God do what God does and watch him develop you. Don't worry about the other stuff. You keep digging deep. Pastor, I'm so discouraged. Someone said, I know, but you know what? Let's dig deeper.
Yeah.
Not here to attack you, not here to judge you, not here to criticize you, because this is a rhythm for everybody in life. And we'll have a tendency of getting into the shallow water, and we'll get offended. Just go deep.
Yeah.
Remind yourself, ooh, I felt that. I'm feeling a little offended. I'm feeling discouraged today. Well, that's what your emotions, your mind telling you. And start saying, listen, thank you for reminding me I need to go deep today. I'm going to dig deep because I'm going to push through the crowd. That woman with the issue of blood had no strength. her iron count was low. She had been bleeding for a long time. And she had to push through a crowd of not only women and children, but through men that wanted to be close to Jesus. They had their own agenda. But when she made contact, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Lord, there's a lot of people around you. What do you mean, who touched you? They're all touching you. You don't understand, Peter. They're touching me out of their own agenda. Someone touched me out of faith."
Yeah, yeah.
How do I know that? Because when she finally submitted and said, "Lord, it was me," he said, "Go your way. Be made whole." Your faith has made you whole. If you're here today and there's areas of your life that you're like, "Pastor, I am trying to get to my seat and I am facing opposition," I want to do one prayer, but I want to do it for anyone and everyone. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you know you need to go deeper. Maybe you're fighting a battle. It might be life-threatening. It might be financially threatening. It might be career-threatening. I don't know. It might be just an annoyance. But you're like, "Today, I'm standing up saying enough's enough." As long as you're tolerating it, as long as you're passive with it, as long as you're like, "Okay, I'll just hope it gets better," it won't get better for you. There is a boldness, a tenacity with the realm of faith. You got to let the devil know, like David said, "This day, God's going to put you under my authority, my hands. And I'm going to give not only your body to the birds, I'm going to give you and everybody you rode in on with. I'm going to, all your friends, I'm taking all you and your posse, and I'm going to feed you all." If you're here today and there's an area of your life, a battle in your life, and you're like, "I need what you've been saying, Pastor, is right up my alley. And today I want to stand up as a way of declaring enough's enough. I am not going to quit. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to push. I'm going to press through until I get to my table that God has prepared for me." This is not a salvation thing. This is a time to fight. Let's not give in. Cast not away your confidence for great recompense of reward. Don't throw in the towel. It's been so hard. Yeah, but he can be your strength. Let's dig deep. So if you're here today and that's you, and you say, "Pastor, that what you're saying is exactly what I need to hear," at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to say, speak a prayer. Speak the word over your life. Today is a new day. Say with me, "Today is a new day." Come on, say, "Today is a new day." If this is lighthearted to you, or if this is flippant, then you need to stay seated. But if you're serious about what I'm talking about, I'm expecting healings. I'm expecting this year someone's going to rise from the dead. We're going to get someone dead that's been raised. It happened in my parents' ministry in a service. I was there. It happened for them. It happened in this church, in this modern day. Every generation needs people who will stand up and be who God wants them to be. So I'm beginning to see that my destiny, my purpose, my design is greater than what I've accepted from the enemy. Today, I'm standing up and saying, I'm not going to settle for where I'm at. God has more. Today is a new day. If that's you, to count three, 1, 2, 3, stand to your feet right now. I'm not here to play games. It's a new day. This is a new day. Maybe it's a war financially. Maybe it's a war in the emotional realm. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe whatever it is. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. Look what God is doing, my friends. Look what God is doing. This is not me. This is what the Holy Spirit's doing through the Word of God. Say, "Today is a new day." Come on, say, "Today is a new day." Look to heaven and say, "Thank you, Father, for the light of your word. I am who you say I am. I have what you say I have. I can do what you've called me to do. I am pressing toward that prize. I will not give up. I will not quit." Now, Father, with every person whose hands raised a standing to their feet, I pray over them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the anointing that is the burden removing, yoke destroying. I thank you, Father, for not a few, but an incredible amount of testimonies that will come out of this prayer right now. We believe that we receive all the benefits of the obedience of Jesus in every one of their lives right now. I thank you, Father God, your destiny, your plan for them is so great. It's far beyond their understanding. But as today we've received more light and understanding, understanding on who you are and who we are in you. I thank you, Father God, we refuse to accept any longer what the enemy has been trying to feed us. I don't care where it came from, who said it, who sent it. If it's not in line with your word, we resist it in the name of Jesus. We submit under your hand and the authority of your word. Therefore, we resist the devil and he has to flee. So by the power and the authority in the name of Jesus, these people will not be moved by what they feel, hear, or see. We are digging deeper into the truth of your word. And I decree healing over everyone who needs healing, a blessing, a restoration, a wholeness. I decree your word be done, be it unto them according to your word now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for a spiritual anointing and tenacity on the inside of them. Embolden them by your Holy Spirit and your word. Strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen them with might as we dig deeper and we move forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. You say, I'm healed, or I'm delivered, or I have peace, or I am blessed. Are you listening? But you need to say something. Just don't say, praise the Lord. You got to say, that's for me. I'm healed. My child is healed. I am whole. I'll no longer be addicted. I'm delivered. Whatever the word says, you have to say it. That kind of sounds different. Well, it's not me. The Bible said it. We got to do it with God's blocks, not ours. God's blocks, not ours. You're walking out of here. And so when the devil tries to tempt you with the pressures of the storm, ooh, I feel that pain coming back. And you, if you open your mouth and say, oh, I guess I didn't get healed, you just accepted it. You can say, sorry, devil, I'm the healed of the Lord. That symptom has to flee. Symptoms try to linger and come back and forth, but that's okay. You're not moved by what you feel here. See, you're moved by the word. You might say, I believe my marriage is going to be restored. You go home and they're kind of rude and say, oh, I guess it didn't work. That's a lie of the devil. It's working. That's how I know it's working, because it stirred up some demons and they're on their way out. And when demons are on their way out, they scream and make a little fuss. Did you hear me? The devil operates in darkness. As long as you don't see him, he's happy. He feels secure. But Jesus said when a stronger than he shows up, you know what they do? They'll scream and make attention. And you're like, what's wrong with that person? I'm telling you, the devil's on his way out. Don't be offended. Just smile and say, thank you, Jesus. Why would they act that way? That's the devil. Why would that come? That's the devil. He just laughed and said, devil, you just showed your hand. You wouldn't believe the day I've had this and this. Listen, when it's so extreme, you ought to just smile and say, listen, devil, you would have been better discouraged me with one problem, but you gave me seven. And then you know what that shows me? That's an impossibility. So that means it's got to be, devil, you're just trying to mess with me. So that just secured my strength to stand strong. With God, all things are possible. I still believe. I believe the word. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking you if you know about God. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ real to you today in the way you process and experience? If he's not, he can be. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you can say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never heard the gospel that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the price of sin for humanity. And the only way to benefit from it is when you accept him and receive it. He cannot and will not force his will upon and overriding your will. Or maybe you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I used to have a walk with God, but for whatever reason, I've allowed stuff to come between me and God, and I know my heart's not right. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today is the day. 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 Salvation encompasses healing even. Today is the day. Salvation encompasses deliverance and includes that. Today is the day. Salvation includes freedom from the enemy. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. So if you're here and you want to make things right between you and the Lord, let this prayer I'm going to lead you come from your heart. A simple, short prayer that'll make an eternal impact in your life. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles, in my opinion. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in, and I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Now, if you're here today and you prayed that prayer, just so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. You're like, but Pastor, this is my first time here. I don't know anybody. I'm not too comfortable. I get it. But in my opinion, this is not about salvation. This is about a tenacity thing. Because I've seen people come to church, get saved, and then they're like, I'm going to hide out under the radar. And if it's hard to stand up for Jesus in a room where people are clapping, how do we live and stand up for Jesus in a world that does not like him? What this last day church needs is we need tenacity, the strength of God. And so if you prayed that prayer and meant business with Jesus, I'm not asking you other things. If you meant business with Jesus and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're not going to have you move to another room. We're going to clap. We're going to celebrate for a few seconds. I'm going to pray, speak a blessing over your life, and then you can sit back down. That's what that's about. But I believe it creates a spiritual tenacity so that when you get out in the world, you won't be so easily tempted and fall into temptation or pressure of people. It's not that you have to be rude or weird or somebody different, but all of a sudden there's a strength for you to say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, I can't be a part of that. No, I need to do this. Because we don't live a victorious life based on our ability and willpower, but by his power in us and through us. So if you mean business with God, I know we're going late and longer than normal, but this isn't so important. If you meant business with God, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. Some of you bold to do it quick so that the people that are a little shy will stand. One, two, three, stand to your feet right now. Who was I praying with? Thank you, sir. Thank you, Bab. One, two. Thank you, sir. Three, four, five, six. God bless you. Seven. God bless you. Eight. God bless you. Eight. Nine. God bless you. 10. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? One in the coffee house. 11. God bless you. Keep clapping. Keep, stay standing. Please stay standing. Few more seconds. Few more seconds. Few more seconds. Thank you. God bless you. Stretch your hands toward these people. Let me speak a blessing over their lives. First of all, welcome to the family of God. We are your family now. Great family to be a part of. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every person that's standing up representing those who've just accepted you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father, for their life. We thank you for your healing, your power, and victory. And Lord, anybody that has been assigned by the devil to take them and keep them out from what you've called them to be and do, we curse and bind that influence and connection and double the amount of people back into their life that would be quality people that would be there to stand with them and be a good friend. Father God, I ask according to your word that you would strengthen them now by might, by the Holy Spirit in their inner person. As they walk out of here today, they'll know that they're not only right with you and saved, but they'll have a strength that they've never had before, demonstrated by the choices and decisions of their life. And we give you praise. And Jesus, every addiction I curse and break in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we set them free to all that you've called them to be in every area. Thank you for healing and wholeness. Whole, healed now in the name of Jesus. One of them is being healed right now. I don't know who it is. You're being healed right now. You stood up for salvation. You're being healed right now by the power of God in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call it so. ringing in those ears cease over the life of that person in this room, whoever that is. We thank you for healing in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, God bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Give him a hand clap. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah.